My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, God's peace, His mercy, His compassion and grace be with you today and always. You have to have the right tool for the job. Doesn't really matter what the job is, right? What does a fireman need? You want to put out a fire, you actually need to have water, or at least something that's going to do it. The truck and the ladders are helpful, the hoses so that it makes sure it gets delivered. Depending on the size of it, if you have anything less than that, it's not going to do you much good. Tools for a job. You're going to build a home, you kind of need the materials. You need the lumber, the insulation, the siding. You need hammer and nails, screws and screw guns. You need the tools for the job. You can't do it without. You're going to have a really hard time putting up a home with your bare hands and nothing more. If you're going to go fishing, you have tools for that job too. Might look a little different today than maybe it did back in Jesus' day. Now we'll walk out with a pole, with line and bait, with lures, maybe nets. But you go back into Jesus' day, the tool of the trade was a little different. But honestly, not that much different than people the way they fish today if they actually are looking to turn a profit. I mean, we might just go for recreation and fun, but for people who actually want to be able to collect a large number of fish in order to be able to sell it, they go out in big boats with huge nets. And chances are nowadays with a crane to haul it all in because you'll have too many big fish to do otherwise. And so too, when they go out into the Sea of Galilee to do some fishing, they take this huge net. Two boats, the net strewn between, so that as they sail along, they can grab up everything in the middle. And they haul the fish on shore to see what they have taken. What do they have? In our gospel lesson today, we hear about also needing the right tool for the job. But it's a different kind of job. In fact, Jesus is calling fishermen here not to fish, but to fish men. And that needs a different kind of net. I don't think gospel and evangelism outreach would go well for our congregation if we ran out and started throwing fishing nets over people. We may have law problems. We need a different tool. We need something that's going to actually do the job and do it accurately and well. And so, Jesus gives us the tools. He gave the tool there to His disciples, and it is the net of the gospel. As we take a look again here at our gospel lesson, we see Jesus equipping His disciples and giving them the commission to go about the work that needs to be done. And at the same time today, He says that we too will be just like Simon, and Andrew, James, and John, that we will be fishers of men as well. And we will have everything we need in order to be able to do so. But it's not going to be easy. And Jesus never shies away from the fact that our task is a difficult one. Instead, all He says is to carry your net for Christ. Jesus is continuing to gather disciples. If you remember, if you were able to be here last weekend, we talked about that. We talked about how Philip and Nathanael were called as disciples. And now, we go back and we see Simon and Andrew being called as well. They had known about Jesus, but Jesus hadn't started His full public ministry yet. He was still walking around Galilee. He was getting His name out there, but He hadn't started His traveling ministry. And so, they go back to their profession. They go back to throwing nets and water in the hope to be able to make a little income and to provide for their family and for their community. But now Jesus is ready to get going. And these men are to follow and to learn. This is what's recorded. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. "The time is fulfilled," He said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel." We know exactly when this starts. John the Baptist, that famous preacher who was famous for his message, he's been put in prison. And this is when Jesus actually begins His traveling ministry. You'll notice, though, Jesus' message sounds a whole lot like John's message. Take a look in the early portions of the gospel. You hear John the Baptist crying out as that voice in the wilderness. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." You need to be aware of your sin. You need to realize what your guilt has done. You need to realize who you really are in God's kingdom. And once you've acknowledged that, you have to understand that He will work salvation for you. Repent, because it's almost time. Now is the time to repent. But when John got arrested for preaching that exact same message is when Jesus begins to do the exact same thing. Really, He picks up after John in the same way, in the same place. That's what John's purpose was, to get the world ready, to start the process, to make straight paths for Jesus. And now Jesus can do exactly what He is intended to do. And so He preaches that message. You ever fully stop to realize, though, the implications of what that means? That Jesus makes sure that even His own disciples get a chance to hear that message before they start to follow Him? That same thing is true for us. We need to fully understand exactly what it is that Jesus means when He says, "You need to repent first and foremost before you can be My follower." You ever heard anybody say that they don't want to be known as a Christian? They don't want to go to a church because they're just full of a bunch of hypocrites? They say that you need to be perfect, that you need to be good, and you need to be wholesome. That you're supposed to live as Christians, live as God intended, and all I see is a bunch of Christian sinners. Hypocrites. Isn't the first requirement of being a follower of Christ to understand and acknowledge the fact that we are in need of Christ? The very first thing that we have to understand if we want to be Christians, if we want to be ones who follow Jesus, is that we are first and foremost sinners in need of a Savior. Now that we do, though, once we take a good, honest, good look at our lives and realize that it is our own sin and guilt that should send us eternally to hell, now we can repent. Now we can say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." We can confess our sins, just like we did in the beginning of our worship service today, and receive that acknowledgement of forgiveness that Christ has paid for it all. It's only with a heart that understands that, a heart that truly understands peace that comes through Christ's forgiveness, that we can ever be a follower of Him. His disciples needed to hear that first, before they could follow, before they could carry their net and do His work. But now that they do, now that we do, this is when He calls. Our gospel lesson continues. As Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Simon and Andrew were waiting for that day. They were already followers of Jesus. They just weren't following Him right that moment. They still listened to His teaching. They still were His disciples, but they weren't following Him everywhere like they would from this day on. And now He says it's time. Follow me. In fact, He says, leave your net behind. That tool of the trade, that professional instrument that you have, you're not going to need it anymore because you're not going to be fishermen anymore. Jesus says, we live in the world, but we're not part of the world. All the things that this world holds to be so valuable, this world holds to be so great, we don't really need it. Because we're followers of Jesus now. Sure, we have to do what we need to do to survive and to live in this world. We're going to make ourselves a wage and an income to take care of ourselves, to take care of our family. That's a responsibility God has given. But that's not our primary purpose in this life anymore. Not once we're a follower of Jesus. If you remember our second lesson, it comes out and it says it pretty bluntly that you need to leave things behind. If you're rejoicing because things are going well, that's earthly things that are going well Leave it behind. If you're weeping because of sadness, those are earthly weepings and sadness. Leave it behind. Leave behind your job. Leave behind your family if necessary because you're a follower of Christ now. How easy is that? To be able to say that this world, which is all that I know, that this is what I'm supposed to forsake, this is what I'm supposed to act like isn't even here, that I'm supposed to be such a dedicated follower of Christ that I don't concern myself with earthly things anymore. If any of you have figured out how to do that well, come and talk to me, please, because I really could use the help. We live in this world. We find joy in things in this world. We don't want to let go of it. And we feel the sting of pain and loss when it comes into our lives. And it's hard to let it go. And yet, this is what Jesus says is part of carrying a net for Him. It's also carrying the cross. We have to understand this. That carrying the net of the gospel to go out and to proclaim that message to the world, at the same time, we also have to carry the cross. The Bible says that a lot. Jesus, in fact, said, anyone who will not carry his cross is not worthy of me. That you must take up your cross and follow me. You will have your set of burdens, because the cross, that's what it is. It's pain. It's suffering. It's persecution. We say that we're a follower of Jesus, and you know what that brings about in this world. Jesus himself said, why do you think people should treat you well? They hated me. Why do you think they will treat you any better? In fact, they hated Jesus so much they put him to death. So do we expect that the world will look kinder on the people who follow him? There's a reason the disciples hid after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. They locked themselves in rooms out of fear of the Jews because they knew the Jews still hated them. It's hard to live in this world of sin, knowing that this is not the best that there is, and yet here we must be. It's hard to live in a world that has been so corrupted by sin, knowing that the people who do not believe, who don't put their trust in Christ, that they hate us because we have a hope that they will never understand. And because the gospel is absolute foolishness to them, even though we realize it is the wisest, most intelligent thing that has ever existed. This is carrying the cross. It's the suffering of living in a world that has been so thoroughly corrupted by sin. And yet, he says, come follow me. Take up your cross, and now take up that net, because as he told Simon, and as he told Andrew, I will make you fishers of men now. Because we get it. We get it more than anyone else. How can someone who thinks that they are holy, thinks that they are righteous, that I've never sinned, that I've never done anything worthy of God's anger, how can someone who actually believes that go out and proclaim that we have a Savior? Because if I'm perfect, I don't need anyone to take away any sin. I don't need a Savior who comes with the gospel and heals my sin-corrupted and broken heart. Because I'm fine on my own. And yet, it's not the righteous whom Jesus calls, but sinners. He chose us to be fishers of men because we've been through it. Because we get it. Because we understand the effect of sin. And we have taken to be so beautiful and lovely the fact that our Savior has taken that sin away and given us forgiveness and life. That's the perfect people to proclaim the gospel. Because we've known it. Because we love it. Because we need it. I will make you fishers of men now, so that you can go out into the world with that beautiful life-saving gospel, the forgiveness of sins, and you can cast that net out into the world and see what you catch. Sometimes we throw it out and we don't get anything. Sometimes it comes back empty. Sometimes it comes back, the net's all tangled and broken. And yet that doesn't stop us from casting the net out. See, this is what he calls followers to do. In fact, he calls more followers. Following right in line with the other, it says that going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending the nets. Immediately Jesus called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men with the hired servants and followed him. Two more men to do the same thing. James and John. They left behind their father. It seems that it's a legacy business. In fact, I've always wondered about this, why they name James and John always as the sons of Zebedee. I wonder if that name carried a little weight. People in the area knew it. Maybe they knew who Zebedee was. He was a big name figure in the area. I can't say for sure. But it would make sense that that's why they always name the father. And yet that's what they leave behind? It's like a multimillionaire leaving behind the family business. The one that pulls in millions a year. Why? Because he's going to follow Jesus now. That's more important. Leave behind the legacy because this is what matters. This is what Jesus has called you for. He's called you because you're the perfect one to do it. You understand sin and you understand the gospel. And he says, I need you to carry your net for me now. So that you can go out into the world and you can proclaim this message that has saved you, so that you can proclaim this message that can save so many others because they too need to hear it. And yes, it means it will be a burden. Sometimes we're going to get tangled up in life. Sometimes we're going to need that help. But we cast out the net in the hope that we can haul in souls hungry for the gospel out of the very depths of their own despair and to save them from sin and hell. This is the task that God has given to us as His followers. And so we do it. Because that's what someone did for us. That life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ has hauled us from the depths of sin and hell and brought us into the glorious light of His Son. Salvation and life is ours, all through Christ. So He says, carry your net for me now. Do the work. Yes, it's going to be a burden. Yes, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be hard. But we do it so gladly and willingly because of how necessary the work is. Amen.